The first official day of winter isn't until December 21st, but meteorological winter started December 1st. If you're wondering what winter has in store for us, you've got a few options. There's always the Farmer's Almanac, of course, which, by the way, is predicting a cold, snowy winter here in New England. Take that for what it's worth. If you want a more scientific outlook, there are still a couple of choices. There's the National Weather Service, which is calling for a warmer than average winter in the Northeast. But a Lexington-based company, Atmospheric and Environmental Research, has a different outlook, and it looks a little bit more like the Farmer's Almanac. So why are the forecasts so different? What are they based on? And bottom line, who's right? Joining me now is Judah Cohen. He's the Director of Seasonal Forecasting at AER, Atmospheric and Environmental Research. Judah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with the National Weather Service. They produce this winter weather outlook each fall, and this year's prediction calls for the Northeast, you know, maybe a slight chance of above average temperatures. No real prediction when it comes to precipitation. What is that forecast based on?
So their forecast is based on the sea surface temperatures in the equatorial Pacific. It's a phenomenon called El Nino, Southern Oscillation, and it's this oscillation or this kind of flipping back and forth of temperature anomalies in the equatorial Pacific. So this year we have a La Nina, that means the temperatures are cold, is the eastern equatorial Pacific. And research has shown that that's related to a warming in the southern U.S. mostly and colder than normal temperatures in the northwestern U.S. There's not a very strong relationship here in the Northeast, but the Weather Service has decided to go warmer than normal here, and maybe that's a bit of the warming trend.
Well, we should say that when we say there's a slight chance, it's like a 33% to 40% chance. This is not a strong prediction for the Northeast winter weather coming from the National Weather Service this year.
No. And again, there's not a strong relationship between ENSO and temperatures here in the Northeast in the wintertime.
Well, your forecast looks rather different. So lay out for us, what are you expecting to see here in the Northeast this winter?
Right. So we're predicting a colder than normal winter in the Northeast. And we do use ENSO in our forecasting. So we have that La Nina in our model. But we look at high latitude or Arctic phenomena. So we include three other predictors that the National Weather Service does not look at, does not include. The first one is Siberian snow cover. We found this relationship where when Siberian snow cover is above normal, we tend to have colder winters here in the northeastern U.S., and also our winters tend to be snowier.
And is that what you're calling for this year? I mean, you said colder than average, but what about the snow factor? That's a big one, right?
Yeah, so snow is really difficult to forecast. We really don't have an official forecast, but everybody wants to know about the snow, so I treat it more like a fun forecast and something that people should take too seriously. But yes, we are plugged in the numbers, and the snowfall for Boston, anyway, is above normal. And I think that relationship would hold true for up and down the northeastern corridor.
I suppose it doesn't hold too much sway with you that your forecast seems to look a lot like the one in the Farmer's Almanac this year.
Right. <okay. laughs> Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me that sometimes I feel like my biggest competition is the Farmer's Almanac. It's a black box. I don't think there's any scientific credibility to it. But I don't take it as a source of comfort that if I'm agreeing with the Farmer's Almanac.
We're talking winter weather forecast with Judah Cohen of AER, Atmospheric and Environmental Research. All right, so Judah, you were explaining what the different factors are that your forecast takes into account that the National Weather Service doesn't. And one is Siberian snow cover in the fall, right. And then there are a couple of others.
Yeah, so the second one is Arctic sea ice. So the relationship is the other direction. So when there's less Arctic sea ice, we tend to have a colder winter. And the Arctic sea ice was below normal, and the Siberian snow cover was above normal. So both those factors kind of signal this a cold winter here in the northeastern U.S. And the last one is a little more esoteric. It's high latitude blocking, the activity of high latitude blocking, where there's these big high pressures in the high latitudes or in the Arctic region, mostly in the Eurasian sector. And if that's active, then that's also another signal or prediction for a cold winter. And that was active this past fall.
How did you get started using these factors? What led you to think, well, maybe things like snow cover in Siberia would be better predictors of New England's winters than El Nino? And, right. and is it a better predictor? I mean, you've been doing this for a number of years. Are these predicting our winters more accurately?
Well, I would say yes. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism in that my ideas are considered somewhat controversial, but I would say yes. And the statistics or the observations bear that out. But how we came to this idea of linking Siberian snow cover or, you know, relating Siberian snow cover to our weather here in the northeastern U.S., I was a postdoc at MIT. I was asked to look at snow cover in North America and winter weather across North America. But I was using a global climate model at the time, and I just figured, what the heck, I'll change not only the snow cover in North America, but also change in Eurasia just to kind of be consistent. They tend to go together when they're both, they either tend to be both above normal, below normal at the same time. And we did get a pretty robust response in the model, but then we looked at the observations, and then using the observations found that actually the relationship between Eurasian snow cover and our winter here in the Northeast was stronger than the relationship between North American snow cover and our winter in the Northeast, which was pretty surprising result, since you would think the snow in your backyard would have a bigger impact. But this has happened over 15 years ago, I guess 20 years ago now. And really, ever since then, trying to understand exactly how that happens.
I mean, why is this so controversial? If the observations bear it out, I mean, you say we don't fully understand it. Is it just that lack of understanding the mechanism of how Arctic conditions influence our winters that make this controversial, or is there something else there?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. First of all, it's something I get in every paper that I submit for publication. A correlation is not causation. So when you use the observations, even if you have a relationship, no matter how strong it is, it does not prove cause and effect. So that's one criticism, of the work. And another thing is that the models, even though this model, that first model that I used, kind of showed a very strong relationship, modeling experiments since then by myself and other scientists have shown that relationship to be not so clear, tenuous, weak at best. So that has led to also skepticism about the idea. I mean, I would say that I think the models are really far from perfect. And the models do pretty poorly in predicting winter weather, especially winter weather. So even though, it's used as a criticism of the ideas that I'm proposing, I mean, the models are very flawed.
I'm talking with Judah Cohen. He's director of seasonal forecasting at Lexington-based Atmospheric and Environmental Research. Judah, I've been told by computer modelers that all computer models are wrong. The key is in finding how it's wrong, and that's how you learn something potentially about the real world. It seems like maybe that's kind of the space where you're working at this point. Does your work feed back and make some of our climate models better?
Hopefully, eventually, yes. One problem has been is that the focus has been in the tropics, that to model the or simulate the coupling that goes on in the tropics has really been the emphasis in model development. And things that happen at higher latitudes have been ignored or neglected. So we've shown that we're proposing and arguing, and we publish papers, that the Arctic is influencing our weather as well. And the models have limitations. And then they don't do a good job, especially they don't do a good job in predicting winter weather. And hopefully incorporation of other factors such as the snow cover, across Siberia, but other parts of the hemisphere as well, and Arctic sea ice, better modeling that coupling between what's happening in the Arctic and the atmosphere will improve the models and improve these long-range weather forecasts.
I mean, we know that the Arctic is warming at least twice as fast, maybe more than that, than the rest of the globe, that the changes going on in the Arctic as a result of climate change and global warming are enormous. Does that potentially mean that there will be a larger effect on winters in the Northeast because of climate change than we might see in other parts of the country?
Yeah, I mean, so my answer is an emphatic yes to your question. So I do think that because the Arctic is changing much more rapidly than other parts of the globe, that its influence in our weather has actually been increasing, and kind of an ironic twist. I mean, I think our winters are colder than they would be without the Arctic warming so much. So, it's, you know, it's a bit of a complicated idea. But
yeah, that catch-22 of, right. you know, if the globe is warming, why do we still have snow? Why is it so cold outside outside my window?
Yeah, so our winters have been quite colder than predicted. I mean, the models predicted, you know, 20, 30 years ago that the Earth would warm, you know, which is where we're observing is happening, but that the winter would be the season it would warm the fastest. And actually, winter is the season that's been warming the least, or, you know, the slowest. So there's been a very, this divergence between what we're observing and what the models predicted. And I think, you know, a large part of the answer to that question is the fact that the Arctic has warmed so fast. That our weather actually, again, and ironically, and counterintuitively, is colder when the Arctic is warmer.
So, Judah, cold, snowy winter here in New England, is that a forecast that makes you happy? Because for a lot of people, that's kind of the dreaded forecast.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the minority. I love snow. It's my love of snow that, and my passion, I guess, for snow and trying to understand why it does snow is, you know, has led me to a career in meteorology. So people say, well, where'd you grow up? Expect me to say I grew up in Buffalo or some really snowy place like that. But I grew up in Brooklyn, but I guess we had just enough snow to tease me, make me want more, and not too much where I got sick of it.
Judah Cohen is Director of Seasonal Forecasting at AER, that's Atmospheric and Environmental Research, based in Lexington. Judah, thanks. I guess we'll go get the snow shovels and the skis ready for this winter.
I hope so. I hope you didn't just jinx the whole thing for me. But
we'll check back and see how it goes.
Right.
Up next, what cell phones and social media are doing to teens' mental health. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.